looked at the picture again. Now, how would a man like that sign his name? Flowing yet small, that would be the handwriting of Reacher Guilt. He was so florid, so sociable, so huge a personality, that one who was good at this sort of thing might wonder if another shard of glass was trying to sparkle like a diamond. And the essence of forgery is to make, by misdirection and careful timing, the glass look so much more like a diamond than a diamond does. Well, it was worth a try. It was not as though he was going to swindle anyone as such. Small, yet flowing, yes, but someone who'd never seen the man's writing would expect it to be extravagantly big and curly, just like him. Moist poised the pen over the headed paper and then wrote, Maitre d' Le Foy Heureux, I would be most grateful if you could find a table for my good friend Mr. Lipwig and his lady at 8 o'clock tonight. Reacher Guilt. Most grateful, that was good. The Reacher Guilt persona probably tipped like a drunken sailor. He folded the letter and was addressing the envelope when Stanley and Grote came in. You've got a letter, Mr. Lipwig, said Stanley proudly. Yes, here it is, said Moist. Now, I mean, here's one for you, said the boy. They exchanged envelopes. Moist glanced cursorily at the envelope and opened it with a thumb. I've got bad news, sir, said Grote as Stanley left. Said Moist, looking at the letter. Postmaster, the Pseudopolis Clack line will break down at 9 a.m. tomorrow. The Smoking Gnu. Yes, sir. I went round to the coach office, Grote went on, and told them what you said, and they said, you stick to your business, thank you very much, and they'll stick to theirs. Said Moist, still staring at the letter. Well, well. Have you heard of someone called the Smoking Gnu, Mr. Grote? What's a gurnu, sir? A bit like a dangerous cow, I think, said Moist. What were you saying about the coach people? They give me lip, sir. That's what they give me, said Grote. I told them I was the assistant head postmaster, and they said, so what, sir? Then I said, I tell you, sir. And they said, you want to know what they said, sir? Oh, yes, I'm agog, Tolliver. Moist's eyes were scanning the strange letter over and over again. They said, yeah, right, said Grote, a beacon of righteous indignation. I wonder if Mr. Trooper can still fit me in, mused Moist, staring at the ceiling. Sorry, sir? Oh, nothing. I suppose I'd better go and talk to them. Go and find Mr. Pump, will you? And tell him to bring a couple of the other golems, will you? I want to impress people. Igor opened the front door in answer to the knock. There was no one there. He stepped outside and looked up and down the street. There was no one there. He stepped back inside, closing the door behind him, and no one was standing in the hall, his black cloak dripping rain, removing his wide, flat-brimmed hat. Ah, Mr. Grile, sir, Igor said to the tall figure. I should have known it was you. Reacher Guilt asked for me, said Grile. It was more a breath than a voice. The clan of the Igors had any tendency to shuddering bred out of it generations ago, which was just as well. Igor felt uneasy in the presence of Grile and his kind. The master is expecting, he began, but there was no one there. It wasn't magic, and Grile wasn't a vampire. Igor's could spot these things. It was just that there was nothing spare about him. Spare flesh, spare time, or spare words. It was impossible to imagine Grile collecting pins, or savouring wine, or even throwing up after a bad pork pie. The picture of him cleaning his teeth or sleeping completely failed to form in the mind. He gave the impression of restraining himself with difficulty from killing you. Thoughtfully, Igor went down to his room off the kitchen and checked that his little leather bag was packed, just in case. In his study, Reacher Guilt poured a small brandy. Grile looked around him with eyes that seemed not at home with the limited vistas of a room.
Have yourself, said Guilt.
Water, said Grile.
I expect you know what this is about.
No.
Grile was not a man for small talk, or, if it came to it, any talk at all.
You've read the newspapers.
Do not read.
You know about the post office?
Yes.
How, may I ask?
There is talk.
Guilt accepted that. Mr. Grile had a special talent, and if that came as a package with funny little ways, then so be it. Besides, he was trustworthy, a man without middle grounds. He'd never blackmail you because such an attempt would be the first move in a game that would almost certainly end in death for somebody. If Mr. Grile found himself in such a game, he'd kill right now without further thought in order to save time and assume that anyone else would too. Presumably he was insane by the usual human standards, but it was hard to tell. The phrase differently